All right. Being 6 o'clock, we'll call the meeting to order. We'll start with the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Seeing none, I'd take a motion to approve.
Motion to approve the agenda.
Thank you, Ryan. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Sheldon. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you, everybody. Consent agenda. Is there any item on there?
I was curious, what is the penalty for institutes or for businesses that are found not in compliance with underage service?
So we couldn't issue citations for first time offenses we have not been. So we recommend our responsible beverage to server training. That's what we've been doing for first time offenses.
Okay. And then for repeat offenses?
We haven't had any, so.
Okay.
In the past, I believe one of these businesses has. And the council suspended their license for a week, and that was probably 15 or 20 years ago, last time I remember that thing.
Okay, it wasn't recent, that was just, okay. Thank you very much.
How many liquor licenses do we still have available as we look at other restaurants maybe coming into town?
I think we have three.
Three. Question.
Is there any other item? If not, I would take a motion to approve.
Make the motion to approve the consent agenda.
Thank you, Ryan. Do we have a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
Thank you, Paul. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. No visitors, no public forum cards, nothing on the mayor's report. There's no public hearing, no committee report, no old business, new business. Use of personal vehicles for fire department discussion. This came up a while ago. I'd noticed one of the firemen had one of the vehicles on site, and I was just curious if that was something we should be allowing, something that the league would allow, because it's just, to me, it seemed like a liability. What if they got injured? Were they technically on call, on site? Yes. Were they official? They didn't log in and get a protective gear from the firehouse is the way I looked at it. So I was curious. We did get a little info from the league. The league kind of doesn't recommend any personal vehicles use, but I just kind of wanted the council's opinion and our attorney's opinion before we would, so we could discuss this more and make sure, because they want to approve it at the fire department, and I just want to make sure that we got every base covered.
I think buying that new rig allowed for more fire department members to travel in one vehicle, so that could help alleviate some of that.
Well, I think part of it was they were just coming in town, and some people had already rolled to the scene, and they come in. And I just want to make sure, you know, and they talked that they could take gear home. Well, I don't know if we want to be doing that either. So that I'm just bringing it up, just kind of curious what everybody's opinion is. I definitely would like our attorney's opinion to look at it. You know, we've gotten a little info from the league. We did forward that to the fire department, and the league was saying it's not a...
Is this only fire calls, or is this all calls?
Well,
97% were EMS.
Well, the policy is for the fire department, so I would imagine it's all of their calls.
Okay.
I think the bigger concern is for fire calls, or for, I think the mayor prefaced, you know, it was earlier this year we had that chlorine leak at the well house, and that's where Dan noticed it. You know, it's one of those things where the league was very clear that they don't recommend it. Now, some cities do it anyways, because not everybody follows it, but that is their guidance. We relayed that to the fire department, and this is what they generated. So, in response to the mayor's request to have some kind of policy discussion.
Are we liable for their vehicle if something happens and they are on scene with their personal or work vehicle?
Technically, no. However, just like anything, you show up, you're there, their insurance company could turn around and sue the city of Casson for damages because they'd say, well, they were there and it got damaged due to this. So, I mean, there's a gray area, and that's where I'd like the attorney to definitely look at it, make sure that we're covering all bases if we do allow this, because I don't want the city to, what ifs, that's what I'm always worried about, the what ifs.
The bigger concern would be what if they got into an accident on their way to responding to a call in their personal vehicle?
Well, and the policy says that they gotta follow all laws going there.
I get that, but if they, you know, accidentally hit someone else, and there's bodily injury, property damage, all of that going on, that's where it gets messy and ugly.
Would that be any different if they were going to the fire hall, though? Wouldn't we handle that the same way?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine so. I mean, you know, because if they aren't actually at the scene yet, then right, I mean, it's their personal vehicle and their personal time, and, you know, obviously, it's different if they're in a city vehicle than it would be if they're in their personal vehicle. I mean, I think, I tend to see what the league says and go, well, what are the situations where you would have to have, why would you go there without your equipment?
You know, my only thought is, if I live here and the fire department's here and the fire's right here and I want to get there to support right away, would I just go right to the fire and support, or would I go, like, if you need your gear and things, yes, that makes sense, but what capacity are you going that you don't need all the things that are at the fire hall?
And that was my thought, too. It was like, and I mean, maybe there is a circumstance. You know, in the case of the chlorine leak, you know, I know, like, the chief responded, and he didn't have his PPE or whatever. And maybe it was more of a crowd control, traffic control kind of a thing. And that's possible. But I mean, it still doesn't make...
My biggest concern is, we're all going to say we're just going there to traffic control or guide or guidance and to tell people what to do without our gear. Then all of a sudden, we jump in and we start doing it. See? Because that's what you're going to do when you're there. Your adrenaline's going to go, you're going to jump in and you're going to want to do something. Now if you're doing it and you don't have your PPE, now you've just created liability for the city because you could get injured so easily. You know, and I would think as a fireman, you'd want to protect yourself with every possibility. Where, you know, if it's a fire, you got smoke, you got, I don't know. So that's why I worry, but that's why I want the league to look at it, I want the council to discuss it, I just want to make sure. And the other thing is, let's say it's not my own personal vehicle I drove there. What if it's a company vehicle? And that vehicle gets damaged. Who's at fault? Is the company going to cover it? Is the employee going to cover it? Or is the city going to cover it?
I think that the reason for the league's guidance, where they err on the side of caution and say do not drive them to the scene, you know, don't use your own personal vehicles, is because there is a line, you know, when you drive your own vehicle, then it's your own vehicle's insurance, it's up to a point. And then once you're in, you know, a city vehicle, you're doing your job, it becomes the city's responsibility, it's the city's liability. And allowing, you know, people to use their own personal vehicles to get there, it blurs that line a bit. And I think that's why the league does not recommend it, is because it's easier to just have that bright line on your way there. It's your personal responsibility. Once you're at work, once you're in the city, you know, vehicles, then it becomes the city's liability should something happen. So making that line grayer just makes, you know, insurers and...
Right. From an actuarial perspective, it makes it...
Because, I mean, I've even... And I still encounter this, and I will bring... It's not exact, but when we have a water department on call and they go and do water tests, they go to the shop to get... And some don't take the company vehicle. Some still drive their personal vehicles to go check wells and go check water. I think we got to look at that policy and make sure we change that too. Because now they're on call, they're working for the city, but they're driving their personal vehicle. So if they get in an accident with that vehicle, who's at fault or who's covering it? We have company vehicles at the shop for a reason. And if they're on call, they should go to the shop to get it, if they're just out doing water tests. So I want to look at that procedure, too, and make sure we clarify that, because that goes right in the same line.
They can't get mileage for that, can they? If they drive their own personal vehicle, we can't, we don't have to pay mileage.
Well, but they're on call, they're going, they shouldn't be getting mileage, they should be driving.
No, no one gets mileage when they do the on-call.
But they should be driving a company vehicle, because if they get in an accident to go get a water sample, or to go check a well, because, and that's, they do every weekend, I just want to make sure that, that's another one that we should be looking at and make sure we're covering every basis.
Do we have enough vehicles currently to do all of that?
Yes.
Don't want to add a $40,000, $50,000.
No, there are vehicles sitting in the shop all night. They just have to go there, check in, take it, and you see some doing it, and you see some don't doing it. Now, it's pretty easy for me to see, because it's right near my house.
If the league says we shouldn't allow it, then I would just say do what the league says on that one.
I guess on the liability standpoint, obviously we would want to make sure that we understand fully what the ramifications are. I don't know if we are legally allowed to just have a policy that everybody agrees to when they sign up that clarifies that gray line that you mentioned. If that was the case, I think we could maybe get around that some. On the flip side, I don't know where all these firefighters are coming from. I really don't like the idea of, you know, reducing our response time by forcing somebody to drive past the fire and then come back to it. I think that the people who get to the firehouse to grab the gear and the trucks and whatever should be well coordinated enough that they can grab another set of gear for somebody else that's coming in, you know, in their personal vehicle straight to the scene, I would hope. So that's, I would like to see us maintain this, but obviously we need to make that line more clear, I think. And any way we could do that, and whether it's possible or not, I don't know, but I think the trying to make this work, I think, would be the better option.
Well, I think the recommendation from staff was to have the city attorney review it and bring it back to us for more feedback. I think that's fair to have her take a look, and she can run up the flagpole and see if there's some things she's identifying in there that we have issues. But some good points from everyone tonight.
Thank you, everybody. Administrator's report.
Sure. All right. Just a few things to highlight tonight here. I went through the Greater Minnesota Legislative Preview, and today I listened into the league's legislative preview, and their expectation is for very little to happen in the legislature. So, good, bad, in between. The local option sales tax, they think that's going to be the highlight of the legislative session, actually. So, something that we're not planning on asking for, at least as far as I know. But the process there would be that, you know, it would have to go to the legislature first for approval, then it would go on the ballot, and it would have to go back to the legislature for approval again. But so they're just not expecting much to happen. They said that the thing everyone's watching this year is the finances. The budget's going to be the big topic, and seeing how the taxes come in and stuff like that. So let's see here. A couple other things included in your package. You do have information on the yearly performance for the Dodge County Ice Arena. As directed by the city council, the mayor and I have begun kind of a strategic review of the facility, and I know I've had conversations with different people about that. We did have some good meetings with KM Schools. I think they were interesting and good to hear their feedback, and their usage is a substantial amount of it. So we're going to continue to review those options for that facility moving forward. So anyway, if you have any questions on that, let me know. I know that that's something that it's been something that's been on our radar for the last couple of years. So. Let's see here. Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation, if you'd like to join them with that, let us know. We can get you some tickets for that. We did visit, Ian and I did a visit at the historic Casson School site, and I noted in there, you know, it's continuing to be problematic for them. You know, space is not an issue. It's got over 33,000 square feet, but they've made it clear that it sounds like that apartments are probably not going to be viable for that site, even with some of the historic tax credits. If they were able to get those, it's problematic because of the increased cost with plumbing, individual plumbing and things like that. So we're just going to monitor that, and we'll provide updates whenever we get information on that. it's something that eventually is going to come to head, but for the time being, it's not a pressing concern. As well as last year, you know, we were tasked by the council to do some review of the valuation of the liquor store, the municipal liquor store, so that's included in your packet as well. You've got information. We use three different methods. We use a discounted cash flow method, an earnings-based, and asset-based. We don't have the audited financials for 25, so we did use the audited financials for 24, and we can run that analysis again once we have audited financials for 25, but they clustered in that $600,000 mark. So, you know, right now we're monitoring the cash flow and the financial performance as directed by the council last year. I appreciate the staff working on that to do that analysis. And then our water loss numbers, just wanted to highlight the good work that our utilities department's doing. My first year we had 29% water loss, and this year we're down very close to 5%, and they're still completing some final analysis, but it's such a benefit to be able to get that new infrastructure in. It, you know, with Highway 57, I think that's been really good, both on the stormwater side of collection, but also on the sewer. Some of the projects that the city engineer and I are talking about are ones to do, you know, for example, First and Second Northwest. We know that infrastructure is in rough shape there. As we eliminate these areas of town that are you know, in really rough shape, it's very clear to see that it's extending the life of our sewer plant and allowing us to treat less of that stormwater than we normally would. So, let's see. I think, like I said, otherwise you've got the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities information in your packet, kind of what they're talking about, LGA, water infrastructure, number of items there. I suspect that some of these things that don't have to be done probably won't be. For example, housing, we're fortunate to be able to get that grant funding last year that we'll be looking at possibly using in 27 or 28, because I think a lot of those kind of discretionary funds at the state will probably be kind of shelved for the next couple of years. Anyway, any questions anybody has?
I was just going to say that last month's report on the flows at the treatment plant, we actually treated less water in December than we pumped out of the ground. So that's the first time I've seen that. So I think that means good things, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we've seen, you know, I think talking to Charlie, and, you know, he has a good institutional knowledge, you know, they were treating close to 1 million gallons, you know, 20 years ago. And now on a normal day in the wintertime, obviously lowest flows in the winter, of course, when it's not raining, but, you know, they might be at 450,000 gallons. You know, so the cool part about that is obviously it means that we have more capacity for additional residential or additional businesses, but also we can defer some of those really large projects at the plant a little bit further if we can. We still have stuff coming at the plant. Unfortunately, maintenance doesn't end there. We had a screen fail, a grid screen, so that's going to be an expensive repair depending on how that works out. There's a couple other projects that are going to keep having to be done out there, but doing a $10 million project, the longer we can push that out, you know, and maintain, the better off we are. So, no, that's a good point. Anything else anybody has? Otherwise, I did want to note that just got back from a doctor's appointment with wife, so she's 38 weeks today, so I'm planning on starting my leave the week of the 25th, so the 23rd would be the first day I would plan on being out. I'm going to be in town, obviously. I'm available. I'm still planning on trying to attend some of the council meetings if I need to, but just so you're aware, I probably will have limited, you know, I may not get back to you right away if you do email me or anything. We'll see how it goes, but here, she said, you know, my first baby was, you know, 39 and 4, and the second one was 40 and 4, so, you know, it's going to be somewhere in that middle probably, or maybe they'll come, like, next week. Who knows? So I can plan for things. Doesn't mean that it's actually going to come to fruition, so, but I appreciate that. What's that?
Yeah, change to the zone
defense. 3-2, we're outnumbered. That's right. So it's not, I'm not looking forward to that, but it is what it is. So.
Thank you, Tim. Engineers report.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mayor and Council. As the administrator mentioned, we did receive some housing grant funds, to the tune of $500,000. So we're looking at starting some engineering to ultimately construct those improvements for that funding they received. So in your council packet is a professional service agreement to start the project, specifically called 8th Street Southwest Utility Extension. That's currently what we have it called. This is ultimately the utility extension to serve the EDA site that's behind the cemetery. This is a former council action was to ultimately transfer that or look at selling that property to private property. The east side, you guys have sold to the Windsor Court Mobile Home Community. The west side ultimately needs this project to be served. So in order for construction to happen, to have some development there, it's going to have to require this project. So that's what we have before you tonight. Ultimately, with the idea that we get this thing constructed, we get our grant funds to offset some of the cost and then pursue private ownership of that parcel through a future sale, I think is the goal from the council. So that would facilitate, this project would facilitate that. More specifically, I'll maybe jump to Exhibit B, which shows the plan. And again, it should be familiar, this is the exhibit that we had in the application that we submitted to the state and were rewarded those funds. I'll just start on page number one, just a high level. Again, the project is kind of the Hatchton area there, 8th Street, which is southwest of the Highway 1457 intersection. You can see the park and ride there in Windsor Court, and then the site that the city owns. I guess you don't own the east half of it now because it's been sold to the Windsor Court people. It'd be the west half, so basically from the center of the cemetery to the west in that hatched area, this project would serve with water and sewer. And then also a trail is incorporated into the project to connect in the trail that we recently constructed in front of the park and ride to connect into the shoulder of Highway 57 there. And we are pursuing some funds to continue that trail north from there underneath Highway 14, as you're well aware of. So in addition to kind of that hatched area, it will serve some future growth to the west. I don't know if that growth is going to be happening, you know, relatively soon, but the sewer that we're extending would be able to serve that farther to the west of the city was to develop. I see it developing more to the south from this project. And then presumably whenever the western half here is developed, the sewer and water will be extended through the site, including a roadway and a connection in the property to the south, and therefore it'd be able to be served with water and sewer. So I'm just looking for long-term continued growth in the area. That's what's before you tonight. High level, happy to get into any other detailed questions you are interested in. But the rest of the plan show, you know, typical roadway section, our common details, and then shows the plan profile that shows the trail. It also, again, will serve our cemetery site. So I think it'd be a great asset to the community to have that trail system ultimately connected into the rest of our town so we can get our patrons out there to the cemetery. In addition to that, we'll provide a stormwater connection to have some flow underneath the roadway opening to Highway 14. We did find that this 8th Street may be MnDOT right-of-way still from the interchange come in, so that'll be something we'll have to work through with MnDOT on constructing a trail on the right-of-way. Evidently, it was frowned upon, so if we're gonna continue this project, I'll have to work through and we'll get it permitted, or we'll turn back the right-of-way to the city. So something we learned with our last project. So I'll pause there. Any questions, comments, concerns? Happy to answer them or go into more detail if needed.
One thing we did note, too, is that along with extending that utilities, the frontage road is in failure right now already. So anybody who's been down there and driven that, once you get past that second entrance from Windsor Court, you can see where it's really in pretty rough shape. So we know that this is a project, that part of it we would have had to be doing anyways at some point in time. So it seemed to make sense where we can have some cost savings when we can do both of these at the same time.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. It's in pretty rough shape, so you'd be having a large sizable project to reconstruct that road. It's beyond a chip seal or a crack fill, so it's in pretty rough shape. So if you were even thinking about this project, I'd be recommending you to get the utilities out extended to serve that area if you're going to do it. So it seems to match up with Roadshot. Let's get utilities there. It's been previous council directions, I think this council direction, to get that into private ownership. So that's where we're at.
So we're looking for a motion for the professional service agreement. I'll make the motion to approve the professional service agreement.
Motion, do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you.
That's all I had, unless you have other questions.
Well, thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.
Up next, personnel.
Well, in your packet, you've got two recommendations from the police chief to hire both Thomas Wagner and Aiden O'Hara. I don't know, Josh, if you want to preface anything. Otherwise, I don't know what your time frame is for getting these officers in their training cycle.
There are two new officers that just graduated last year. We're just waiting for the fingerprints to come back, and then we can have them start. So, as soon as we get those back to the BCA.
Well, that's exciting. It's very exciting.
Okay. I would look for a motion to approve the hiring of both Thomas Wagner and Aiden O'Hara for full-time police officer.
Make the motion.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Sheldon. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Thank you. Anything from the attorney? No? Correspondence? Any questions there?
I had a couple of our local charity fundraising groups come ask about the 10% that we are charging. One was hockey, full disclosure, I'm a hockey coach. And they were thinking it would be about 13,000 after, the 10% would be about 13,000 of their profits that they use. That seems pretty high, I don't know. Have we thought any more about that 10%? I know we dropped the 3-1.
I mean, I have to take a look at what their gross is.
Maybe.
I mean, part of it, have we got any of the reports from any of them?
Not for January.
Okay.
Hockey did submit, which I returned because we didn't.
Yep.
We want all of them for January. They submitted a report for December and sent a check, so I sent it back. But that was $12,000.
Yep.
So that is, that was 3% plus the 10%.
Plus the 10%, okay.
So now it's gone down to the 1% plus the 10%.
And the 10% is just on their net.
Net. On the net, yeah.
It should reduce us substantially, but.
Do we have any projections on how much this will cost all of our different organizations that fundraise?
Without having the reports, it's hard to.
Do they have to report those reports to the state?
What's that?
Do they have to report to the state how much they're netting?
They have to do that monthly.
Yeah.
They have to send those LG 100 forms to the state monthly. We haven't gotten a report. We were supposed to get reports. We haven't gotten a report in couple years.
Yeah, I'm just asking questions now because they're gonna ask me. Is there a reason they're not giving those reports before?
Nancy always did. It's something that fell through the cracks.
Yep.
Nancy always did it and took care of it, and then when she left, it didn't.
They stopped saying them and.
Transferred and they nobody bugged them anymore for them. And if you don't ask for them, they're not sending them to you.
Yep.
So, I mean, if they got any questions, they should come down and talk to Lyndon and Tim.
Yeah, then that's what I did tell some of their board.
Because without all the information, we can't give them an answer.
Yeah, and that's what I said. I can't give you enough information. I just know that this is what we've talked about at council and to talk to Tim.
Sure.
About it.
So. I mean, once we have the data, you know, we can certainly fine-tune things. I mean, part of it is, you know,
we don't have
as you know, everything we've done is within the confines of state statute. If you want to reduce that, that's also up to you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going towards park equipment, which we know we're $500,000 a year behind.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd like to see a year's worth of data first and then say, okay, well, we think that we can fill this projection and then we can move forward with a lower number.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fair. I did tell them.
Good questions. Absolutely.
I did tell them just to contact City Hall.
I mean, I know each month is a little different, too. So it may seem like a lot this month. I think based on what I was told from the fire relief, like, theirs was negative last month.
Yeah.
Like they would have a negative number reported in their numbers. So I mean, not every month it's going to be that kind of a amount, probably either. So.
Yep.
Okay.
With that, I would take a motion to adjourn.
I will make the motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Ryan. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Sheldon. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you, everybody.
Okay. Yeah.